the chapter and the 14th verse. The Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In writing to the church at Philippi, Paul reminds us of the standing that all the people of God have in Christ Jesus, that it is an everlasting standing, that there is not that can ever prevail against the life of the individual who from all eternity has been enfolded in the divine grace which is in Christ. Therefore, much of his epistle is taken up with the language of rejoicing. He rejoices in the demonstration and the evidence of that truth as it is made so plain in the life and the experience of the child of God. But while every child of God has that eternal standing given to him in a precious price, that does not mean that there is no continual work of advancement in grace operating within their soul. The Holy Spirit, the convincer of sin, the revealer of the righteousness which is in Christ, the giver of that wherein that the faith is so apprehended in Jesus, that salvation, ever has a constant movement toward Christ. Here's this to be drawn through the divine power and efficacy of the Spirit in the operation within the soul. There can be no satisfaction the child of God save as he shall find himself to be perfect and complete, not simply in Christ, which he is in his standing, but in the image of Christ, that he may be like him. And therefore, in this epistle, while we have the language of rejoicing, there is the constant theme that the church should ever be going onward and upward. That there should be the continual pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have come across characters who have spoken of their faith in Christ. And they have spoken as though in that day wherein they believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they had everything. That there need be no more concern. That there was no reason as to why there should be any anxiety relative to their future course. They believe, and therefore they are safe. But, my friend, salvation brought to the soul through the full power of the Divine Spirit activates, energizes the soul. And therefore, far from every human being settled, there is that wherein there is the constant, the consciousness of resistance, of opposition. Within your own nature, which is still corrupt and formed to everything that is good and holy and pure, that the Holy Spirit aspires unto within thee. Yes, faith without works is dead. James said, I will show thee my faith by my works. How necessary it is that there should be the evidences and the testimonies in our lives of the saving power of God effecting within us that which is well-pleasing unto God. For as we are reminded in this same epistle, it is God which worketh in you to do and to will of his good pleasure. Therefore, there is the working out of your own salvation with fear and trembling. There are other characters who may take up a very self-complacent attitude. They're so satisfied with their attainment. They can talk at length upon fine theological points. They can talk to you of their own experiences. They can talk to you, too, of all that they have known, of what they profess God has done for them. And there they stop. Oh, it's hardly as though there were anybody else that had come to such a blessed pitch of perfection as they have. They can talk about him because it's almost as though they know everything about him. And when we listen to them, we feel like dross in their presence. Oh, how humble and abased we become because we cannot aspire to the same heights of experience which they are professing. And we've lived long enough to watch those characters. And we are reminded the pride goeth before the fall. And we have seen wherein much which they have declared unto us has been utterly inconsistent with life's practice. Their life has been a contradiction to what they have professed to testify unto. Yes, rather would we be found numbered amongst that number of whom Paul, writing to the church of Philippi, declares to be brethren. Brethren, he says, who more gifted, who more blessed than Paul? He had heard things that it was impossible to speak about, even as he was exalted to the third heaven. What he he had been enabled to do for his Lord and his Master outstrips all that we can possibly record to mind concerning us. Look well in me, what a giant he is in the things of God. And yet, what attitude does Paul take up in this matter? He says this. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. Whatever I know, whatever I have attained, it falls far short of that which is to be known of him. All that I may know, all that I may win, Christ. But Paul, I thought you were in Christ. Paul, I thought everything that related unto the glorious grace of Christ in all its sufficiency had been known and experienced by you. No, he says, all that I may win Christ and be found in him. Paul was conscious, in order to relate it unto himself, that when it was brought into comparison with the revelation of that grace which is to be brought unto us at the appearance of Jesus Christ, how infinitely short he fell of the perfection. How the fact was relative to the likeness, the mind and the spirit of Christ seemed, as it were, to be beyond his grasp. And there's one who so outstrips us, who is such a giant in the things of God, comes down, and he says, brethren, I'm in the same position as you are. I'm in the very same place and experience that you are passing through. I count the place so to have apprehended. It's a good thing to press towards the mark in the consciousness of that wherein there is a beginning. And the beginning is in the consciousness of that only. It's in the consciousness of our own openness. It's in the consciousness of the vastness and the magnitude of that which is to be obtained, whereby, in that wherein my own ignorance is confessed, and that wherein I am so at all in these matters which are to be apprehended in him, yet it is the spur, it is the energizer of every motive and desire and longing in my soul to press towards the mark, to obtain the reality, to reach unto the finale of that which is contained in the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh yes, how small are our conceptions of the glory which is revealed in Christ. But if we are conscious of how small our conceptions are, then there will be that desire in your heart to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's as he appears in your view. Is he the altogether lovely one to you? You know the Spirit's testimony is to that effect. Is he the chiefest among 10,000? The Spirit witnesses one to you to that effect. And he so testifies and witnesses that there may be that creed within your heart which was found in the heart of the bride when she said, draw me, and we will run after thee. And for it ye are likewise looking upon that which is relative to a race. There is the cause. He would gird up his voice. He would be so exercised unto that race that he may obtain the prize. So run that ye may obtain. I press toward the mark. But he warns us against this. Living on the past. He says, in my pressing toward the mark, I forget those things which are behind. Yet it's right to call to mind that which is relative to his calling in the first place. It's right to remember that wherein the art sinners, and that wherein the greatness of the Saviour has been made evident unto us. But my friend, we can't live on past experience. You can go back and you can say, the Lord blessed me there. I can go back, you say, to the place where God put a prayer into my heart and he answered that prayer. I can go back to places where there are testimonies, you say, and evidences of the Lord's goodness and mercy to me. Yet it was through those experiences that you knew unto more of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus your Lord. But can you stop there? Are you content, as it were, so to stay there in the full contentment of what you possess in the past? Surely, if that which is relative to the gifts of his own blessing is made evident in you, they are but an inspiration to greater effort and more fervent endeavor, so to press toward the mark, that you may have fresh understanding, renewed enlightenment in the knowledge of your Lord. Yes, forgetting those things which are behind, that they shall not be a hindrance to be your cog in the wheels, that there may be a continual onward pressure exerted in my heart and in my soul toward him. Because when I am confronted with this truth, then I realize the necessity of pressing toward the mark. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Have you reached that yet? Have you got to that point yet? Are you so utterly swallowed up in that truth that you, as it were, have become extinct? Christ is everything. We dare not say it. We cannot say it. And that is why we want fresh revelation, fresh enlightenment in the truth. And we press toward the mark. But forgetting those things which are behind, how essential this is for a church. Even the church at Philippi, of all the blessings that have been poured out in profusion upon them. Yes, and a church can look back and it can say how the Lord wrought wonderfully in those days, how he manifested his power in our midst, how he was pleased to make himself known to so many individuals, calling them in that high calling in Christ. Yes, of course, that is founded upon the rock, but what it can look back and it can see the good days. The days of when the Lord was in the midst. Are you going to be satisfied with that? If so, though, the spiritual life of the church is going to be stodgy tonight. There won't be any growth. There won't be any going forward. And that church eventually dies up. And it's gone. The church that lives is the church that is animated and enlivened by the Holy Spirit to press forward to the mark. Not living in the past. Forgetting the things which are behind and looking at that which is relative to the present and says, let there be the manifestation of the outpouring of greater blessings in the midst. Let us realize the effective work and power of the Holy Spirit in a greater measure within our hearts. For all there is still so much more land to be possessed. Oh, we know so little of what the Lord can actually do for us in these things. Yet we press toward the mark. It's the same of denomination. Denominations are liable, you know, to live in the past. Take our own denomination. How inclined we are to talk about Buford, Gatsby, Kershaw, and others. Those who were favored and blessed of God in that wherein the life of the denomination consisted. They've gone from the scene. They've served their generation, and thus they have fallen on sleep. What relevance is that to us? Only this, that in that wherein we as a denomination can look back to the past and see that wherein God wrought so efficiently and effectively through the lives and labors of those servants of His, surely this God is ours. And because they have gone, that which is relative to the life of true religion hasn't gone. God abides in the midst of His church. Then may that which is relative to the very life of the denomination be so centered in Christ, so looking continually toward Him in that where all power is His, that we may ever be present for greater blessings, pressing toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, let us never rest in the past. No, lest any should misunderstand me, we're not taking away from that which is a relative. To all that God hath done for us, and all the blessings that have been received by us in consequence of their labor, no, we're not taken away from it. But surely that which is relative to them should be the very inspiration of our own hearts and the possession of the Spirit, so to possess for ourselves and to obtain for ourselves the same outpourings and manifestations of the Divine Spirit in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark, thus forgetting those things which are behind and reaching unto those things which are before, I press toward. Yes, it is an act of faith. It is the work of faith. It is the resultant fruit of the power of a divine salvation, both in the individual and within the church. And it is there a continual experience. There must be no letting up, no cessation. Pressure, it means that which is relative to the very fact of what we say about letting up and giving up and cessation and so forth, or the man their forces against such a pressure. The more headway I make, the greater is the pressure of the wind against me in my course. The more advance I make in the way of grace, the more I shall realize the winds of heaven. The more I shall realize that wherein the whirlwind may seek, as it were, to divert me from my course. It is against this that I have to labor and to toil in pressing towards the mark. Now that brings me to this. A continuous experience. You may often say the realization of that experience, why should I have to pass through these varied ways and pathways? There is depression. The consciousness of darkness of mind. There is that wherein you feel overwhelmed at times. Or it may be even with you, as it was with the case that I met with during the past week, who said to me, he said, sometimes I feel so utterly hopeless to go to the house of God at all. But I keep on going, and I keep on wanting and longing to receive something, and I never get anything. And he said, it all seems that you're hopeless. Tough. And yet, the individual can't give up going. And though there is doubt, and though there are all these various things brought to bear upon us to impede us and to hinder us in our course, yet if we are in Christ, there is the blessed pressure of His divine Spirit within our soul, still strengthening us and enabling us to press on. Further down in this chapter we read how Paul so emphasized that truth when he declared, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. To press then against these things is no work of nature. It's not the action of a calm mind or reason. If you've got the pressure on, it's because of the divine Spirit working effectively within you, the fruit of that salvation which is in Christ. No, rather let us fear and tremble when that which is relative unto the pressure seems to be off. When we are not concerned, when we are not anxious, oh, but says somebody, surely if you were brought to the knowledge of Christ as your Savior, you should never entertain a doubt. You should never be the subject of any fears. But you see, the press is to contend with difficulties, and some of the difficulties are these. The unbelief of the natural heart. The doubts and fears that come through the intense consciousness of the infirmities of our own flesh. You see, there's so much in us that would cry down that which is the work of the Spirit. We have a proneness within us, within our own nature, unto everything that is evil, and never forget it. The old man is still alive in everyone. He'll never be dead until his body is laid in the grave, and that is why Paul says in the latter part of this chapter, shall change our vile body in real life, that body of death. And that which is relative to the body of death is simply a vessel of unbelief. And you know, I wouldn't even make you for a person who professes to be a Christian and never knows the attacks and the assaults of that fearful foe, unbelief. But why are we subject to these contendings with so many things? They may come from Satan, they may come from the powers of the world, yet, from whatever source they come, they are beneficial to the Christian. We're not proud of our unbelief. We don't set it up as a mark, as it were, or a standard for a Christian. God knows we would rather have all that which is relative to the description of such a case taken from us. But if we're truthful and if we're honest and if we're sincere in the sight of God, we know that we have these things in us. And that our eyes are often blind. Yet there are often things to be available over our understanding. And yet it's beneficial. Why is it beneficial? To the strengthening of the manifestation of what God is doing for you and in you at this present moment. I trust that our very presence here this morning, that our attending unto the things of God, betokens that we have in the possession of our soul a pressure which nothing can overcome. And if it is not overcome, and you are found so inquiring, seeking, longing, fasting, hungering to know more of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you may defend it. You're a child of God. You've got the work of the Spirit in your heart, and that which is relative unto the goal shall eventually be obtained. But that which is relative to it causes no boast in the flesh. We've got nothing to boast about. Where then is our boast? It's in Christ Jesus, who by his divine Spirit, in the mind and the spirit of Christ, dwelling in us, is conforming us unto the divine pattern. Listen. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. And you know he's been talking about the adversaries. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. But you see how the pressure is at once put on. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I say these things are beneficial for the strengthening of that wherein the work of grace operates within us. Just a word here in the way of remember, pressure. There's always growth. You've got the babe, there are the little children, there are the young men, there are the fathers. You've got first the brain, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The whole matter is a matter of growth. And that is what is operating under the divine watering of God. Those visits wherein we are made so conscious of his presence that we can do all things through him which strengthens us. And we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. one other thought. Not only do we have to contend with difficulties, but we are then now in the pressure made conscious of the opposition which arises from the fact of our own infirmities, whereof Paul is constantly exhorting the church to mortify the deeds of the body. It's a practical work. It isn't something that we talk about, which is operating in us. If it operates in us, it will work out in our lives. Working out your salvation. And my friend, the aptitude to retaliate. The temptation to revel in return. The various things that lay hold upon us, the hot temper and so forth. We all, in some measure, know wherein our own special weaknesses do consist. If we press toward the mark, we shall be very watchful. And that which is relative to the uprising of the infirmities of the flesh, we shall seek to overcome, even as we look towards the mark of the praise of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, it is that we may have the mind of Christ in these things, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again, and so forth. Let then that spirit of Christ so dwell in my heart, that in the exhortations of the gospel, I may so give heed unto them that through them I may know the blessedness of the mortification of the deeds of my body. Not only to know it inwardly, but to give the testimony, I press toward the mark for the obtaining of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then we shall know what Paul meant when he said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We must leave the subject. May the matter in the soul possess our hearts continually, until we reach the perfection of the full stature of the man who is in Christ Jesus. Till then, I press toward the mark. Amen.
Our closing hymn is in number 474. 474. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes.
the Lord God, the Father, and the communion of God, the Holy Ghost, abide with each one of us.